Welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. This is Peter.
I'm Steve.
I'm Rich.
And we're also joined by Mark. Guess who forgot the music tonight, guys?
My guess would be Pete?
So I'm going to give the microphone to Mark, and I'm just going to go and hum in the corner. So, it's been 2 weeks. I know for me, it's been a hell of a 2 weeks. How about you guys? Anything interesting going on? It's
been a crazy month, January.
Yes, it has.
And what, we got another snowstorm on its way, right? It's 8 to 20 or 30 feet or something by morning?
Yeah, there's actually three of them, one after another. So the first one's going to hit us tonight, followed by, I don't know, maybe the next one a day after that. And then I think third one, which is a nor'easter, is going to hit us on Monday.
Oh,
but that keeps
changing
on a daily basis.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, you got to love it.
I guess I really am going to have to get new car tires then.
Yeah, snow tires are becoming a prerequisite to live here in upstate New York, as it seems to snow 6 months of the year.
So, what do we got going on, gentlemen? I guess I can make the quick announcement that starting on February 18th, which is every Tuesday at 7 p.m., us, the Bad Boys of the Paranormal, will be picking up an additional show on the Live Paranormal Network.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! That ought to be fun.
So then every other Tuesday, we'll have this show, too, on BBS. So you'll get to listen to us for 2 whole hours.
Wow. So that means we really have to put together a show now. We can't just wing it every other week.
No.
No.
I think we do pretty good with that.
Yeah, not too bad. Some amateurs.
I know I've been lining up some guest appearances. Rich has been talking to a few people. So we might have some interesting guests coming up for both networks here.
Yeah, it'd be nice. To get some insight from people who are considered the professionals in the paranormal, to share their insight with our listening audience. You know, what's interesting about the paranormal is every investigation team, every investigator does things differently. And, you know, in this line of work or hobby, whatever you want to call it, we tend not to judge other people for what they do. We just sort of learn from it and find out what works for us and what doesn't. And, I think with each one of these guests, we pick up a little bit of something ourselves, and we also share that with them as well. And it's interesting because even though you could work with someone and speak to somebody like John Zaffis, who's been in this field for a long time, and I mean long, he still is open to learning things and new technology and new concepts from some of the newer guys in the paranormal like us. So, you know, that's the one thing I really like about this field, that people are open-minded to learning other things. What do you guys think? Why don't you chime in on that?
I think so. You know, you can't stay stagnant. You have to learn. And especially me, because I've only been in the field for, what, five years? And I'm learning.
That long, huh?
Yeah. And so I'm virtually a rookie, maybe, kind of. And I'm learning new things all the time. If I'm not learning from you, of course I learned some things from John and Pete and everybody. So, yeah, you're learning new things all the time.
But you're big, sexy Steve Roscoe.
Well, I don't know about sexy.
The paranormal is always a lifelong learning experience.
Yeah, but you know what? There is an ugly side to this profession, I guess, if you want to call it. I consider it a profession. I mean, obviously, we don't get paid to investigate and help others. We do that because out of what we want to do. But there tends to be a lot of people in this field that are jealous or angry and don't share some of that common ideology of like brotherhood or sisterhood. You know, I guess maybe that there's not enough places to investigate, they feel, and if they get into one investigation a team does, they feel like that's theirs, and you know, no one else should be allowed to investigate there. And I find that actually kind of comical, but there are the so-called haters in this, and we come across them every once in a while. But I think, you know, 95% of the time, you know, we get great response from other paranormal groups. the text Pete shared with me a couple days ago. That's Peter, isn't Peter Leonard?
That's me.
There he goes. I got him, folks. That there was possibly another group of folks that are investigating paranormal. They're interested in speaking with us about kind of working with our group. So, you know, hopefully the word's out there about our IP and, of course, you know, what we do and how we help people speaks for itself.
Going back to what you were talking about before, about when a group investigates a place, they think it's they want to keep that to themselves. It's like a sense of ownership of a place, you know. And I know from my personal experience, if I investigated a good place, I kind of want to be keeping it to our group. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know, my view is the more groups we get to investigate a place. Because, let's face it, you're not going to get everything in one investigation. You might get a lot. You may get nothing. But another group might come in there, or even your group, same group, and something big time happen. But I think it's a sense of ownership when you do a, you know, a place.
Yeah. And to me, I relate fishing. I've been a fisherman since, God, I was like 5 or 6 years old. My dad used to take me. In fishing, sometimes you go out and you buy the best equipment, the best bait. You find that best spot, you know, and you get there before anyone else does. You know, as the early bird always gets the worm. And you can go in there and catch nothing. Or you can sit there and cast and reel in and get nothing, and then someone come alongside you, throw in their line, and catch a 21-inch rainbow trout.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it really is timing. You know,
yep,
timing.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is, to be respectful of other groups, because we have done investigations where we've gone in where other groups have been before us, and the homeowners or the property owners will tell us, this is what they did, this is some of the results, and even though we know some of it's crazy talk, or what they've been told, mm-hmm. you know, we don't try to demean them in any way. We just go in just keeping the information in mind, and, you know, how many times have we gone in houses and been told by the homeowners that there was another paranormal group in there, and they said that the closet was like a gate to hell or something like that.
A few places.
Yeah, a few places.
A couple places come right off the top of my head too, so, but...
Right. Yeah. Now, how would you feel if somebody told you your closet's a gate to hell?
I don't think I'd like that too well.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't sleep very well. It's
not, no, especially if
I'd
I'm
be
sleeping
staring
in the
at
room.
That closet door with a crucifix. The sheets pulled up to my chin, so...
Although knowing what we know now, we could probably charge admission for that. Come to the gateway to hell. Come to Peter's bedroom. Hearts broken 3 times daily. No.
We're going to talk a little bit about something that every investigator should know, and also we'll share with you. It's about possession. We were talking about the closet and being a gate to hell. That's something... To be really quite honest with you, we hear it quite often. But I found an interesting article online, and it's called The 5 Stages of Possession, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But before we get there, I think Pete wants to share something with us.
Yes, if we can get a quick station ID. This is BBS Radio, Station 2, Paranormal Investigator Radio. If you'd like to call in and ask us a question, comment, or just talk with the bad boys, you can call in toll-free at 1-888-429-5471. Again, that's 1-888-429-5471. If you call within the next 5 minutes, I don't know, I just thought I'd add that in. But we also have Twitter up and running. If you don't want to call in, you want to send us questions and comments, we have a Twitter account at @RIP_live. That's RIP_live.
Yeah, baby.
That's all it. Right.
You know, we've really upgraded this show. We actually have, ladies and gentlemen, we have a sound guy with us here. Mark Berry, our tech guy in the group. I mean, he's running the sound. He's got everything hooked up for us. He's monitoring everything. I mean, we're stepping up in the world here.
Now, if I only remembered the sound clips for him, we could have really had a good show tonight.
We'll have Mark chime in a little bit, too, as well, but... It's kind of nice to have someone there kind of monitoring the levels and making sure that we're all adjusted properly. Because, folks, it's not that easy. I mean, God knows, one night we didn't have Dr. Dave with us, who seems to be on a sabbatical lately all the time when it comes to the radio show. And we threw it together pretty quick, didn't we, guys?
Yes.
we didn't have the assistance of Mark or Dave, but we figured it out. It was painstaking.
I just keep shoving it into holes until something works, and we lucked out.
Yes, we did.
Speaking of holes, we got a lot of comments about the vagina theory last week. If anybody remembers that conversation,
I still have that on my mind. I couldn't get that off my mind. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, it'd be funny. I'd be watching TV during the afternoon, and all of a sudden, I'd be thinking, that was really, really fascinating. I just, for some reason, couldn't get it out of my mind.
Well, there are clubs and strip bars where you live.
So we won't be talking about the vagina theory tonight, but something equally as scary, demons.
Oh, boy.
I mean, if anybody has a Facebook account, you can tell that that's been the entire rage of the week. Where was it, Indiana? There's been a house in Indiana with the demon thing going on. I haven't had a chance to read anything this week. I was busy with the fire and subsequent kidney stone and potential loss of a job. I know Steve's trying to talk here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I haven't. I didn't read anything on that. Did you, Rich, read anything on that?
I gazed upon it on Facebook. It's quite a bizarre story. Peter's going to be better informed of it, and he'll share his thoughts on it. But I don't know how many of you have actually been through Gary, Indiana, but I drove through there one night about 1 o'clock in the morning. Coming through from Chicago, I decided after a conference ended that I was going to do the 12-14 hour drive, I don't know, straight through. And I hit Gary, Indiana late that night. Man, it was a scary place in the dark.
It's a scary place in the daytime, too.
Yeah, so I've been told.
Do they have a big boy out there?
I don't even know. They have a lot of big boys out there.
Wait a minute, Gary, Indiana, isn't that where the Christmas Story was filmed? My favorite Christmas show with little Ralphie and that BB gun.
Oh, that might have been, yeah.
That was someplace like the outskirts of Indianapolis. So
if anybody wants to call in so you can correct us and tell us where the Christmas movie was filmed, you've got the 800 number. I'm sure Pete will give it to you again.
These guys know how serious I take that. I have the leg lamp in my house.
And he's got the BB gun, too.
They have a pink one now.
I've never seen the movie.
Steve, it's an American tradition.
Yep, birthplace of Jackson 5.
It is.
Yeah. That would explain the paranormal connection. Yes.
So why don't you share with us, Pete, this Gary, Indiana story?
Wasn't there one of the cards I drew playing Cards Against Humanity had something to do with the Jackson 5? But what happened to Gary, Indiana? I don't know. Right? Like, all I've seen from like reading quickly was that Zach Bagans had now purchased the house, I believe. If this is all the same story.
Zach Bagans purchased the house?
Yes. He was all over the media and morning talk shows with that. I think he purchased it for something like $25,000 or $30,000.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I'm over here trying to find the story.
Yeah, that's on Facebook. I saw that. You're right.
So what was happening? I mean, is this the house where the kids were like walking on their backsides or crawling up walls or some?
Mark's nodding his head yes over there. So apparently it's a house that has some demonic activity going on. But I don't necessarily, if you want to call it the house having demonic activity or the people having demonic activity. I was always told essentially that when it comes to like demons and evil and stuff like that, it's more or less a person and it is like an establishment, you know?
I think it could be both sometimes. It could be either or, but a lot of times it is the people.
Well, Steve can attest to this. How many times have we gone in investigations and people said, there's a demon in my house?
Oh, yes.
Because I'll get scratched or we hear footsteps or noises and they always think it's a demon. Mm-hmm. Like a demon's going to come to haunt the house for some reason. But we do hear that a lot. But demon's main purpose is to take the soul of a human being, isn't it? The ruin of mankind.
I think so, yeah.
What they seek. There's an article under paranormalnews.com called What Every Investigator Should Know, The 5 Stages of Possession. And when we go into a case, and if we know it's a bad case, negative entity or possible demonic activity. You know, these are always things that we're concerned about. So, folks, here are the five stages of possession, and then I'll let Steve and Pete chime in on each one. I think Pete's probably got a little bit of knowledge in this area, being the fact that he's a historian, has got some religious aspects he can share. But the first stage of possession is called invitation. And at this point, the individual themselves is up for possession, and they're wanting it. So they're inviting something to come into them. What do you guys think about that first?
I think it's crazy. I think if you go playing around with stuff like that, sooner or later you may get what you're asking for.
And that's why we always ask about the caveat. Do you use Ouija boards? Mm-hmm. Do you run around in woods doing ceremonies? Do you? It's not per se that that may be bad activity. We always call it the intent. Mm-hmm. What is your intent? If your intent is something, how do we put that? To get something you shouldn't have on Earth, you have a bigger chance of being stalked by a demon. And what I mean by that, you have a normal life when you start asking to be like a dictator of a country, or $750 million in unmarked $1 bills like I've asked for a few times. I mean,
kind of making a deal.
That's the invitation, letting it into your life.
Well, they do mention Ouija boards as a form of an open invitation. And again, I think it's with intent. I mean, I think if you're instantly playing with a Ouija board and it jumps and you get freaked and run out the room versus one thing, but asking to communicate with something and asking it to come into you and give you, like Pete said, power, possibly riches, wealth, things like that, you're extending the invitation.
So does that mean that fortune cookies are evil? Because they do tell the future.
Now, let's go to the second stage of this. Infestation is the second stage, and I'm not talking about bugs in your house or cockroaches.
Same thing.
At this stage, intelligent hauntings occur, and dark shadows may appear for no reason. There may be tappings or sounds. Things can move for no real reason why. The reason is to foster an environment of fear where the individual becomes increasingly conscious to the spiritual world. And this individual may see what they believe to be ghosts or angels, and there'll be strange liquids seeping from the windows and walls. Power and trust can come into the fear of the individual that emits. So it's already starting to show itself after you invite it. And that could tie in with the fact that people do claim that they think that they have a demon in their house because they hear things or, you know, things move, stuff like that.
Now, I might be jumping your list, or maybe it's known as something different, but that's where the difference comes in between a poltergeist and an infestation, because poltergeists sometimes mirror that type of activity where people think it's benign. Like right. The scratching in the walls or the where it's actually starting to make itself known to you.
Right. Maybe that's why people get confused. When this kind of stuff happens, they automatically think it's something demonic when it could be something, like you said, like poltergeist. Or it could just be a spirit in general trying to make itself known.
An angry spirit or a very mad raccoon that he can't find any food in your cupboards or something like that. I mean,
I'd be hoping for the mad raccoon.
I remember when we first gave those thermal imaging cameras a workout in that abandoned factory there, warehouse. And I remember Mark going out with it and recording that giant raccoon that was walking up on a steel beam.
I remember that.
Ceiling.
Weren't there bats in there, too?
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
You turned around real quick and took off.
Yeah.
Bats.
We don't like bats.
Not to get off topic quick, but have any of you seen the YouTube video of the man at the airport farting through the thermal imaging? No. That's one you definitely got to look up if you haven't seen. We need to try that out in the field.
Well, there's that Saturday Night Live video we showed there with Hugh Laurie when he was on there. And he did a haunting, the spoof there, when he said, it's a noise. It sounds like Julian, Julian. And
I've seen that.
For Christ's sakes, I caught one, okay? Yeah, I ripped one. So, and then they showed it on the thermal imaging camera after coming out. So, yeah, we really need to try that. That's fine. I mean, and it really has nothing to do with possession. But
the third step does, right?
The third step is oppression. At this point, the entity begins to seclude the individual and place them in a position where they may not find help. So this is when it starts to overcome you, oppresses you to a degree. The entire purpose for this is to cause the individual to just to give up. Give up their desires to live, their desires to prevail, to pursue happiness, things of that nature.
And total oppression, meaning all of a sudden nonstop financial problems, nonstop health problems. Mm-hmm. It just targets you and your family, and it just goes after you nonstop, yeah. One thing after another.
A lot of times if someone gets to this stage, it's where they actually remove themselves from their friends and their family. You know, they become start dressing very dark.
Although that sort of sounds like Rome, right?
I mean, yeah, it kind of does.
Yes, that's a demonic hotspot.
That would qualify too, I guess. You know, change in behavior. If all of a sudden you start wearing all black or black nail polish or start wearing occult symbols.
Mm-hmm. And often the people who are oppressed start to contemplate thoughts of suicide too as well.
Mm-hmm. People who grow beards for no reason. No. Trying to get a rise out of Mark over here, folks.
Our beard guy. If you go to Mark's Facebook page, you'll always see some kind of beard posting about guys with beards.
A proud member of Society of Bearded Gentlemen.
A bearded gentleman, so.
With great beard comes great responsibility. It's actually the beard that's taking care of the audio board tonight.
Or it could actually be the third part of possession. It could be a beard under oppression.
It could be.
The oppressed one grows a beard.
You've ruined all of Gothic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, we're not actually attacking Gothic punk. I'm sorry.
Well,
should we try getting the Insane Clown Posse on here? I mean, paranormal music is a genre.
That would be pretty cool. I'm not so much into music, but I've seen their videos, and they can rock it. I mean, there's no doubt. Insane Clown Posse.
See, you guys didn't even think I knew who they were since I was driving up here listening to Civil War music. That the whole room is silent, like he knows who the Insane Clown Posse is.
What is Civil War music? Cannons, guns, horses,
flutes.
They're more like ballads.
Drums.
It's slow music for slow people.
So it's kind of like Michael Bolton then.
Except better. Yes.
Okay. Except better. Okay.
Nothing can stir your patriotism like a good round of Dixie.
Folks, if you haven't met Pete, you really should. If you come out to an RIP event and really meet Pete, and you'll know what we're talking about.
And if I've offended anybody, you can call me at 1-888-429-5471. Especially if the Insane Clown Posse would like to call in. It's 1-888 toll free 429-5471.
All right, we got two stages here we're going to get through. So we're finally going to end up at possession here. This is the second to the last step, folks. This is not it. This is not the end of the journey itself. This is when the individual does become possessed, and this is what you see all the time in the Hollywood movies. This is the Linda Blair stage, you know, when the heads are spinning around and green soup's coming out and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, at this point, I mean, you've gone through three stages, so things are looking kind of bleak for you, but there's still some type of salvation for you. I mean, you can still seek out some kind of help from the clergy, if you will. And then the final stage of this is death, and that's ultimately what the possession is, to take the soul, to possess the being, and lead lead the individual to death. That's the eventual goal.
But that is the stage you want to skip.
Right.
That's not the recommended stage that you want to get to.
So the demon doesn't want to possess you and stay possessing you forever. The demon wants to possess you so it gets your soul, and then you die, and then it can go on to something else. So that's kind of the simple run of it. I mean, obviously, if you look in some religious texts, it's going to be much more deeper
in depth
than
sure.
that, folks. But if you ever want to just get a brief listening to that, you go to paranormalnews.com, and you can look up the five stages of possession. Anything to add to that, John?
Yes. Actually, do you know that the lesser amount of demons that possesses a person, the harder it is to get rid of them because they're stronger in power? I was told a long time ago that the average possession is 100 demons or more in a person.
Really?
So when you look at some of your landmark cases, like the Robbie case, he was actually only possessed by one demon. That's why it took almost a year to drive him out of his body, because those are higher level demons. Yes, Mark is saying the Archdukes of Hell. Those are the ones that have a lot of power, like your Leviathan. Actually, Leonard is a demon. I think he's the Admiral of Hell. I'm thinking offhand here.
There's a whole hierarchy here to demons.
And if you think of it, it makes sense. I mean, 100 demons, you can scatter them quick, because if it's taking 100 people to take over one body.
Right. They're the pawns on the chessboard. Very limited power. They move one step at a time. And the only way they can defeat anything is in numbers. So during one exorcism, then, it can drive out multiple demons.
Hundreds, thousands. Three or four, those are like the cases, like they say the Pope is actually the only person who can walk up to someone, lay his hands on them, and exorcise them.
The Pope.
Without actually going through the ceremony. He has the authority of Jesus, and he can just touch someone and say, demon, be gone, and they have to leave because of the authority he represents.
Now,
but good luck getting him on a investigation with you.
Well, we are in Rome. I mean, come on.
Although the new Pope might actually do that. I think we talked about that a few times. There is footage out there of him doing an exorcism in St. Peter's Square a few months ago on a gentleman.
And there's always a talk, I mean, even some of it online, about the Vatican training, a lot of new exorcists, getting more and more of them out in the field, sort of correlating the fact that there's more possessions. Either that or there's more mental illness. I mean,
That's always gone hand in hand, but I think right up to the 1990s, they've only had 14 exorcists at one given time in the church. I think they're now up to 1,000 they've been training. Most of them are actually coming to America and in Spanish countries.
That's where all the sin is.
If you think of it, that's pretty much the last bastion of Catholicism. That would be the increase. So that sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And
right.
That new form of heroin that's out there, or whatever it is. But no, the church has changed a lot since the 1500s. I'm not their official spokesman, but that's one of the very first things they test now, is the mental illness, and they test that to death, so to speak, before they actually bring in the archaic ceremony of exorcism. And if you ever have met a few people on our team, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
But it would be kind of interesting to find out what the correlation between is a real possession, or is it the individuals just have really severe mental problems?
That could be, and essentially they could be in one of those early stages too, before they actually are in possession, you know, and kind of starting to show some obvious traits of that going in that direction. So I don't know if they have to wait to the individual is possessed before they can do an exorcism, or can they exorcise the demon out at any point before then if they believe that's what's going on. Like the exorcism of Emily Rose. I mean, the movie was obviously, it was based on a true fact, and seeing one of John Zaffis' lectures, he kind of pointed out the real case, and he had that actual tape recording of exorcism, which by far, I mean, that still puts shivers up my spine when you listen to it. It's the creepiest thing you've ever heard. It's kind of like, you've ever seen the movie The Grudge?
No.
The Japanese girl monster, she comes up and makes that clicking, clucking noise.
Yes.
That still creeps me out.
I did see her crawl
down the stairs. That just creeps me out. That's the same.
Anything like that, yeah. Anything like that would creep me out too.
And I believe the John Zaffis lecture there, too. He shows the picture of people who vomit nails during exorcisms. Yep. And I find that amazing. I mean, I've read about that many times, and I asked him about that. And he said, they're not actually coming out of your body. They're actually materializing outside of your mouth during whatever it is they're doing. And that's got to be horrible. I give credit to them guys that deal with that stuff, because there's no way in heaven I would put up with that.
No. Wasn't there a show on Animal Planet a few years back where this gentleman, he was involved in a paranormal group, and I think they went and did an investigation in Gettysburg, I believe is where they did it, and he became possessed or had some kind of demon intervention, And then he had all these problems in his life. He had to go see clergy and all this. And he had an actual show where he was going around helping people after. Do you remember that show?
Not offhand, but I think I know which one you're talking about.
I think it was
about
a very limited series. It only had maybe 6 episodes or something. It was just, you know, the pilot. But, you know, as paranormal investigators, that's one thing that we're susceptible to. When we go in to do these things, I mean, we're doing our investigation. I mean, essentially, we have to be very careful that we don't take something with us.
The haunted?
Friend or foe.
Yeah, the haunted.
Absolutely.
I don't think it was the haunted. I think it was an actual show of...
there was one on Discovery about exorcisms.
Show or something it's called. Yeah, this was on a planet called The Haunted.
The case manager got attacked, possibly possessed during the show.
But again, scary. I thought based on that, we just discussed about the steps of it, that you have to be willing to be possessed, become possessed.
And that's what people out there need to understand. When if a group comes in and tells you you have a demon, don't automatically fall apart and put your house up for sale. In the early 90s, when I was on my exorcism demonology studying and all that, I actually went out on a case with a priest. And these guys know I tell it. As soon as I got out of the car in front of that house, I knew something was not right. I didn't feel good. Everything in my body was telling me that it wasn't right. And that night just got worse and worse. And so I'm going to tell you, if you think you have a demon out there, you don't. If you have one, you definitely know it. That's pretty much the only way I can explain it. And that's what I tell homeowners. And the slave driver over here, Steve, when he sets up the million cases, we go on.
Right, right.
This group said that there's a demon living upstairs in the bathroom. No. Has it thrown you through the wall? No. Have you been scratched, bitten? Have you spent every penny you had? Are you constantly sick? I mean, it's all the steps Rich just went through. It's
yeah, but you know what? Going along with what you just said, when we go in and do an investigation, listen to the claims, do the investigation, and make a recommendation, we don't make recommendations lightly. We don't just tell you to go do something just to go do something. But when we do give you a recommendation, if you're strong by it, we strongly recommend that you follow suit and do what we ask you to do. Steve knows that because he had that one case outside in Madison County someplace where they removed the items out of the house that we found and everything stopped. And we're like, yay, you know, we felt all good about ourselves. And, you know,
well,
and I was like, wow, we felt good. We helped somebody, you know, because these people, yeah, Steve, they were like, we're moving out. We're not going to have kids.
These people would not live in their whole home.
Yeah,
they were relegated themselves to downstairs into what? Three rooms. And they would not go upstairs. They would not have kids. And we did the investigation. It was a good investigation. We found a few things in their wall. I told them, take these out. Don't take them just to the garage. Take them off your property. Take them away. See what happens. I called about, a week later, week and a half later, and everything had stopped. Everything was fine. I says, okay, now reintroduce them back into your home. And they did. I called them maybe a week, week and a half again. Sure enough, things are started again. I says, now you know what it is. Take them out permanently and don't reintroduce them back into your home.
See, wasn't it a good thing that the first group that went in there, they were all certified paranormal investigators?
Yeah, where's the certification course that we can take to become certified? I want to try that thing, go to dental school, get certified as to be a dentist.
Really?
Right after that. I figured, you know, why not?
I was thinking about getting my MD.
There you go. There's a certification course for it.
Absolutely. Well, I can do that.
It's on the same website to get the paranormal certification.
I think so.
You get an exorcism degree for $99.
Yeah.
Become ordained.
Yeah.
The Reverend Big Sexy Steve
Ross. Yeah, no, I don't think I'd want to be called the Reverend.
I think there was a lot of paranormal investigators going back 5-10 years ago when the paranormal thing was starting to, craze was starting to hit, and a lot of people were becoming paranormal investigators. Some of these people, you know, looked at it as a business opportunity and trained people and gave them a certification. Hey, sue them for being entrepreneurs. What are you going to do, you know? If you're willing to do it and pay, but you walk out with a peace of mind, you felt you got your money's worth, then you know, how's that in harming anybody? You're certified, but I remember when I did my first lecture with Jason and Grant years ago at Lilydale, and I never saw so many groups of people come in with matching clothing on. I mean, these guys had utility belts and you know, they're all official. They had badges, paranormal investigators, and even Jason and Grant, they're like, wow, these guys look really serious. Maybe we should get badges.
Yeah, before you and Steve joined the team, Dr. David had made utility kilts.
Yes.
I just looked at that and said, there is no way in hell I am ever wearing that. Do not make one for me.
No,
I'm not Scottish. We're not on the fields of Bannockburn. We're not trying to take it back from the English. I'm sorry. I can keep my K2 meter in my pocket. Thank you very much.
No, it's nice to kind of have some kind of unity where someone, you know, you can be identified who you are as part of a team. But, I mean, these guys went a little nuts. I mean, they had badges. They had actual paranormal investigator badges.
I could get them if you want them.
If they came to my house, I wouldn't let them through the door.
I miss the Scottish kilt phase.
Yeah, they had kilts too. Forget
it. He might still have a few.
Get off my property.
Steve all out there in tartan with his big brooch pin. And
no, I'm not going to do
Demons be gone.
Spooky forever.
R.I.P. is here. Be gone.
Or the Rome investigators of the paranormal. Hurry up.
Trivia question here. Do you know what TAPS's first group name was? Before they changed it to TAPS?
Was it Rhode Island Paranormal?
No. Go ahead, Pete.
Rhode Island Investigators of the Paranormal.
I think it was Crips. Central Rhode Island Paranormal Investigators.
Oh, dear Lord. They went from Crips?
Crips I think the they blood? Actually had. I think they actually tried Crips.
Oh, that's not a good name. You wouldn't want to be in L.A. and have that name as a paranormal group.
Well, to give them props, I watched it last week. They were at the Buffalo Naval Yard, mm-hmm. and did that bring back some memories?
Yeah, that's one great investigation I didn't go.
We're working on trying to get back. We're working.
Right. Yeah, no, I'd like to go back there and try it. I mean,
but having seen the USS Croker, which is the submarine there, where Adam Barry barely fit through the door, there is no way in hell's bells that I would even be able to get into that submarine.
No, two different body types going on there.
Steve would have no problem. Me and Mike would definitely be outside talking to the local Crips that Mark had made friends with the first time we went out there.
Oh, that's right. That's
like,
right.
Is he actually talking to them gang members? Which might not be a bad thing, because if they come jack us and take the thermal image, everywhere.
Well, on a related topic, we talked about the increase in exorcists. Pete gave us some numbers and stuff. How there's much more of them now than there was back a long time ago. With the increase in exorcists, believe it or not, this goes hand in hand, folks. 2013, a year for Bigfoot. That's right, folks, Bigfoot. Bigfoot sightings have gone up, and there's more and more photographic evidence of Bigfoot. I know Pete laughs about this.
Is he ordained now?
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys actually believe there is a Bigfoot?
I kind of believe there could be.
Okay.
I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no.
Open-minded. That's good.
Yeah,
skeptical. It's good.
There is a very distinct possibility that there is a Bigfoot, but there's also a very big possibility there isn't a Bigfoot. What do you think, Pete?
That was a beautiful government type of denial answer if I've ever heard it. I believe there could be, but if there's not, then there won't be.
But, I'm running for governor of New York next.
My only concern, I'm open to everything paranormal. You know that. I'm pretty open-minded. But my only concern, as it's always been, is something that big should leave a skeleton someplace.
Or somebody should step in a big pile of its leftovers someplace. Oh, I agree with you. I'm skeptical, but I'm open-minded. I was when I got into the paranormal. You know, I was listening to all these stories about all the stuff going on from, you know, people like Zaphis and others. So years ago, I said, you know what? I got to see it for myself. I mean, some of the stuff sounds like what John Zaphis is telling me. Oh, the body, Richie, was floating off the table and, you know, was singing Metallica and its eyes were rolled on the back of its head and its toenails were growing. And I'm like, all right, I got to go see this stuff for myself. So, and the same with Bigfoot. I mean, I watched some of these Bigfoot shows and I know that some of the stuff is faked because obviously there are a lot of hoaxes out there. But at the same time, it kind of goes with UFOs. There are a lot of hoaxes out there, but there's also a lot of honest, hardworking people who've seen things or experienced things that unfortunately get judged, you know, measured up to the hoaxes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there are some actually cool photographic evidence they have not had in many years that are starting to come up. Again, you got to kind of shift through it and see if it's a hoax or not. But, I mean, they actually have a photo of Bigfoot sleeping. I remember seeing that one. There's another one of him in Pennsylvania. They've got one of him on a trail cam picking up apples at night. I mean, some of these people, if this is a hoax, they've really gone to some really elaborate schemes to try to get a photograph. I mean, if they're making $1 million for coming up with a photo, then yeah, right off the get-go, I'd say these people are full of crap. But, you know, some guy out in the middle of Vermont who's retired as an apple farm catches one on the trail cam and just submits it and wants to remain, you know, anonymous. I mean, really, what's your gain for him?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's actually some really good photos out there. And I really think there's something out there. And however, it's so intelligent that, again, there's a show now. That reminds me. There's a show on, is it Animal Planet, about a bounty for Bigfoot? It's hosted by Dean Cain, who used to be Superman, and Lois and Clark. Look it up, Mark. You'll find it. It's actually a show where he takes Bigfoot hunters, and if they can get evidence or capture a Bigfoot, it's like $1 million bounty.
$10 million.
I mean, this is really stepping up the game, guys.
Spike TV,
yes. What another credible network.
Let's go out looking for Bigfoot.
We're in the capital, Whitehall.
Right? Yes, we are.
See, and that's the other thing that we've always mentioned is the UFO sightings increase around Bigfoot. So, I mean, that's also something you can't ignore.
Yeah.
It's a guy in a ghillie suit on these pictures.
A gorilla suit? Oh, dear.
Yeah, again, some of the stuff is... There was a video footage shot in the Adirondacks up north of Old Forge a year or two ago that showed it. And I looked at that probably 20 times, and I could not see a Bigfoot. I saw something there. I don't know what it was. It probably could have been a bear, but it didn't look like it was, what do they call them, bipedals?
Yes.
And it didn't look like that to me. But some of the stuff I've seen out in the middle of nowhere, they captured this just on a Friday, you know, camping or something. I don't know. I mean, I think some of it's legit. I think there's actually something out there. But this show could actually catch a Bigfoot $10 million. You imagine that? If the government got involved, couldn't they send the drones up into the Sierras and places like that and actually
get
something?
No, they'd probably have even less than we would find. The red tape involved in it would just... Wait a minute, Dr. David, if you're listening out there, my eyebrow is raised. Rich, that could be a blockbuster event we could host in the summer. An actual Adirondack trek into the woods looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah, we'd probably get lost.
I know I would. What would happen as soon as I got to go to a bathroom or something?
Yeah, we'd have to...
Then the bears would confirm that lifelong answer to me.
We would need GPS to find our way back. I mean, I'm an outdoorsman. I've camped my whole life and to the last probably 10 years. I've been up to Whitehall. I've been up through there. It's pretty thick up through there, but I think they've only had like one or two sightings up there, though. Some of these places, Ohio, believe it or not, is like, Ohio's got that Sasquatch Triangle over there. I mean, of all the states in the Union, Ohio has got a lot of Bigfoot sightings.
I think Whitehall is like the capital of New York State Bigfoot sightings. There's been a New lot of them. I just watched that Finding Bigfoot on Whitehall yesterday.
Did you?
And they're finding a lot of people are having sightings on Bigfoot up there.
Yeah, you know, but again, sightings of what they think is Bigfoot. Again, it was more fun when people didn't know what it was and they were seeing things, but now they're like, it's got to be Bigfoot. It's got to be Bigfoot. And no one will explain it.
Let's see if we can book a lodge up there, sell tickets, and we'll go into the woods. We might be able to get one of those big feet celebrities.
Okay, quick question. What would be more exciting to you to actually see? An actual ghost in a house stop, stare at you, or be in the woods and actually have Bigfoot walk up to you?
Oh, no, I'd love to see Bigfoot. I mean, more than a ghost. That's me.
Same here, dude.
Yeah, I think
ghosts
I'd rather look at see
after
Bigfoot.
A while.
Yeah, Bigfoot too. Yep. as long as Bigfoot's far enough away from me where, you know, I can run and get away from him.
We just keep putting beef jerky in Steve's back pocket because according to television commercials, that's what they
like. Slim Jim Snacks.
Messing with Sasquatch. Those are still the best commercials by far.
Doritos, too, right? I believe they eat Doritos.
Well, according to Cliff on Finding Bigfoot, they eat anything. Doritos and deer livers and
but any real camper would always carry a bag of Doritos with them. That or Fritos, because they always light and they burn forever. It's a quick way to make a fire.
Well, we gotta get Bobo on the show. We gotta have a Bigfoot episode. We'll get Bobo on the line with us.
I'd love to learn more.
Yes, so would I.
Get some of his insight on squatching.
But how reliable really are the... I even see paranormal teams using them now on paranormal investigation. How accurate are these deer cameras and stuff that they use?
The trail cameras?
They're not really that good of a resolution, are they?
I think they take a photo. You can program, so it takes a photo. It's either triggered by motion or it's set up so by time. And I know every time they seem to take one, they never seem to get anything.
No.
The only ones I've ever seen where they had it on Finding Bigfoot is when there's a gentleman up between Vermont and New York, right there near the border, had an apple tree, and he caught something on the trail cam. He actually caught something picking apples, and I think he caught another one. It looked like he had a baby under its arm picking up apples. That's what they described it. I had a hard time seeing the baby, but so again,
that'd be kind of a sweet picture to take. Bigfoot eating apples. Who would really believe that?
I think they'd eat anything to survive.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you. But.
So that's where the myth of Johnny Appleseed comes from.
I think so.
He was the Bigfoot. He was a Sasquatch. But these rumors go way, way back, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and they go all across the world, too. So obviously the hoaxers in the Sierra Nevada haven't been talking to the Chinese or the Himalayans. So, I mean, there's something out there. Definitely something out there. I would really like to go on a Sasquatch expedition someplace like the Sierra Mountains or Washington or Oregon, something like that, for a couple of days. I think that'd be really cool.
I would actually like to go where Roger Patterson filmed that film of
I think that
the
was
Big
Northern California.
That was the Cascades, yeah. Up in that was in Cascade Mountains, I believe, yep.
Is that where they filmed Emergency?
Emergency?
I don't think so. That was Los Angeles.
Emergency was a great show. So it was Adam 12 and
I still
SWAT.
Watch Adam 12 and all of them.
I love SWAT.
But I think that was filmed up in Washington State.
MASH was filmed outside of Vegas. I learned that on a sightseeing helicopter tour.
Yep. Oh, really?
That yes, mountain it was. Range yep. with the
that's supposed to look like Korea, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what other interesting things can we talk about tonight to share with our listening audience?
Hey, can I give a quick shout out to the Loch Ness Monster? I mean, if we're going to talk about Bigfoot, we got to give some credit to the plesiosaurs out there, like
yes.
Champy and the Loch Ness
Champ
Monster.
Champ and Nessie, absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing I'm really kind of
Bluff
not
Creek.
On board with is
where
the
do they go?
Loch Ness Monster thing. I don't know.
Wasn't there like a big squid or something that just washed up on shore someplace in Asia?
I think so.
Well, the photo they show on like some of the websites is like 450 yards long, and then the one they show in real life is about 12 feet.
Was it a whale? I've seen one recently.
They bury whales out that way. It's a cultural thing.
I think no matter what it is, whether it's Bigfoot, giant squid, Loch Ness Monster, whatever, ghosts, all
the
this stuff.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, the last Super Bowl, yeah. Ask Denver fans how they feel about the last Super Bowl. But no matter what it is, it's goes under the guise of, you know, either cryptozoology, paranormal, ghosts, or what have you. We may never really, really fully understand what is really going on, or if there is such a creature. We just don't know. Until somebody gets proof positive, picture or what, or a carcass of either the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, or whatever, you're not going to know. And no one's going to be satisfied with just a picture.
And just hope you don't find them during mating season.
The problem is with photos now and video is that we have the technology that's available to pretty much everyone who owns a home computer that they go in and Photoshop and
yep.
and do their own thing. I mean, some of the stuff that people can do with Photoshop amazes me. I mean, it was stuff that mm-hmm. 10, 15 years ago would have to be done in a multi-million dollar studio. But I think that's what the problem with the whole the photo stuff is. And that's why everything is so skeptical, you know. And it's good to be skeptic. It really is.
Absolutely. You yes, know? It is.
Well, couldn't they investigate, like, I don't know about these shows, but couldn't they get, like, big thermal imaging cameras and go up in helicopters and look in the woods? I mean, something that gigantic's going to have a big heat signature, I would think.
Let me just give a shout out to the Animal Planet here for a second. Any production companies out there or any networks that are looking for a team to put on a television show to go looking for Bigfoot, you've got four people right here. Signed, Steve Roscoe, Peter Leonard, Rich Nickett, and Mark Berry on board. We're your men. We know the technology. We know the equipment. And we ain't afraid of nothing.
And call us right now at 1-888-429-5471.
We'll find you, Bigfoot.
We have a pen. Have pen, we'll sign.
You'd be amazed at the things that we can accomplish. Right, guys? We're doers.
Absolutely. We're good. We're good at what
we're doers.
Do.
You give
Absolutely.
Mark an Altoids 10, a paperclip, and a rubber band, and he can probably create a nuclear bomb out of that somehow. But and he just pulled a paperclip out.
He'll blow up a hole so big in the Sierras, a Bigfoot will be laying right there in the crater. End the story.
Him and Mama Squatch going at her. Is that what they mean by squatching? I don't.
I don't know. I really don't.
Squatching in the boys' room.
Anyways, to kill the whole story about Sasquatch here, because we tend, if you don't realize, we tend to go on tangents and we talk for quite a while on a subject. And you know, if you don't like the book the Bigfoot thing, sorry, it's we like it and we like to rag on it, but we'll end it right here.
We don't care about your stupid ghost.
So we actually had an investigation this weekend, just to kind of wrap things up here on that. We had a team go out into the local area, and we did an investigation. We're still milling through all the evidence that we have. Most of it was audio, but during the actual investigation, the homeowners were there participating in it to a small degree. But as we're doing it, they said they saw the shadows coming down the stairs. Now, we don't know, obviously, if we were the ones generating the shadows or, you know, so...
Right.
We need to look at that a little bit further. So we have that. We've got some consults coming up that Steve's been working on. We got some more investigations. We have a couple more larger public facilities that want us to investigate. I think there's like four of them. We're not going to give a shout out to them just yet until we get things confirmed up. But and Pete's going to tell us about our little announcement about our office.
We have an office?
We're going to have an office.
Yes, we've been working on that because they're getting mad at me with each radio show that I screw something up. So we need a place to actually set the equipment up so that you can actually have music. Things will be in the right holes when they need to be in the right hole. So we could just sit right down and talk about the vagina theory. And it'll be someplace in Rome. No, it's I believe it was about 300 square feet, which doesn't sound like much, but for us, that's quite a bit. So oh, no, 600 square feet. I'm sorry,
I think,
600
yeah,
square
I think it's 600.
Feet.
That sounds a little bit more like it. But we're actually going to, folks, I mean, if everything goes through and we're pretty close to getting that accomplished, we'll actually have a physical Rome Investigators of the Paranormal office. Maybe even have an open house, invite people, carry some office hours. I know Steve, our case manager, is excited because it's near where he lives, so he can go into the office and kind of work on things there, get cases set up. We do the radio shows out of there. We can maybe do some events out of there because it's part of a much larger facility. So
mm-hmm. working on the newsletter, we're yep. trying to get that back up. So yep. a place you know, to.
We got a lot of compliments on the newsletter when we were doing it, and it was not to brag, but it was probably one of the better newsletters in the paranormal field. And then obviously we got going on 10 million things at one time, like most of us do, and life stepped in, and you know, and now we want to go back that direction and start it up again. So.
But that's the beauty. We've picked up some new dedicated members, so we're pretty much handing all the investigative stuff off to them. Well,
and our
us
caseload.
Old farts can concentrate on like the public stuff here, the writing, the radio.
The caseload is just it's getting busier.
Well, I will tell you the caseload. Everything is up in the air at this time. We do have a lot of cases coming through. I'm just waiting on some people to give me a call or send me an email. And as soon as that happens, we will be on our way. So get ready, guy. Because as many as I have out there, if they all come in at one time, everybody's going to have to participate because it's that many. Cool. So get ready.
We're looking forward to it.
I also let you know that it looks like we might be doing the Gettysburg thing. That might be going through for Phenomicon.
Nice.
I'm working on getting the table for that, so we'll be set up there. The other one actually fell through. We couldn't get a space. All the vendors' space had sold out, the one in Lake George, but we'll still give them a shout-out. And we got other things we're working on. So,
nice.
Looking good.
Yeah,
I love the Gettysburg one. I'm sorry. I just love Gettysburg.
The other thing that we've kind of backed away from doing because we've got so much going on, and obviously the casework comes first because that's why the organization was formed, to help people. And that's how we train our members. That's how we assist people. And that's how we learn more so we can become better at what we do, is the events. We're going to start getting back on the event bandwagon again. And we had some great events. Folks, if you haven't been to one of our events, you're missing out, because the people that we had the second event were almost many of the people that were there, actually there at the first event. They loved hanging out with us so much, and they like investigating with us. And the second time we did our big scale event, we had an amazing investigation where we actually communicated to a child and we had a full on deliverance, which was amazing, to say the least.
And we actually picked up two new members from that investigation.
Yeah, good members, active members that have been doing a lot for us.
I believe one of those members is our new assistant case manager, Jen.
Yes, it is.
And she's been doing a phenomenal job, as has all our new members have been, just phenomenal. And I commend them, and my hat's off to you, ladies and gentlemen.
And on that note, do you believe we went through another hour?
Burned through another 60, huh?
So you guys have anything quick in the next 20 seconds?
I don't.
Other than I thank everybody. Again, the big switchover is coming. We'll be on Live Paranormal. I guess that's like a 200,000 listener pool. Plus, we'll be doing the BBS show.
2 weeks.
Please check us out on Facebook, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, as we update all that, the necessary links.
And if you need help, please, when you send something through on Facebook, help your case manager out, please, and add a phone number to that so I can give you a call.
Or fill out the form.
Everything will be held in private.
Everything's in private. Nothing is ever divulged.
And on that note, I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
Mark is waving.
And he's Mark Berry.
Until we meet again in 2 weeks, survive the alien invasion.
And survive the snow.
Happy trails to you.